give everybody a minute to get moved around.
We'll give everybody a minute to move around and just get regrouped. There is coffee there if anybody needs it. Members, just to lay out the roadmap, I'd like to convene the Environment, Energy, Natural Resources Committee. We are going to go through the bill today, take the amendments. Members, if I could just lay out so that everybody can kind of get their packet in order. We'll first do, we'll move the bill, then we'll do the DE1. Then I'm going to do A13 and A14. And then, members, we'll move back in numerical order back to the A1 and go through a numeric order up to, I think, if there's some, maybe I'll just read, members. We'll walk kind of slow, and then you can get them ready. We'll do the A1, the A2, the A5, the A6, the A7, the A8, the A10, the A11, the A12, one labeled 168, 173, 192, 194. At this point, members, Representative Hilty is going to offer an amendment that's the Westrom bill. We will take public testimony from one individual on that amendment. Other than that, I think we've had testimony on all these issues already, so unless members here feel a real urge, it really, really would help staff if we're able to pay attention, stay in our seats, and move the bill prior to 10 a.m. as their efforts to get the bill to Ways and Means tomorrow. They've kind of warned me that we're on a course that it'll be tough to meet if we don't get done. That said, we will not move forward if the body's not ready to move forward. Questions, thoughts, concerns at this point? Representative Fabian, you want to move the minutes of yesterday's meeting?
I so move.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Okay, members, I would like to move House File 1010 to it'll be motion is to pass as amended when it gets amended. This may be my motion at the end of the day. And we're going to re-refer it to Ways and Means, and then I'll remake that motion at the end. Members, I would like to offer the DE1 amendment. It's the amendment that we've probably had a lot of the testimony and discussion over the last 6.5 days about. Discussion to the DE1. It's to get the bill in the shape the author would like. All those in favor of the DE1 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, motion carries. Next, members, I would like to offer the A13 amendment. Ms. Taylor, why don't you walk through the A13 if you would, and then I'll stand for questions. Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair and members and audience, this is the author's amendment. It includes a number of technical and some other changes, and I'll just walk through. The first page corrects some overall totals and some agency totals to reflect some of the changes that happened later on, and also some clean up some clerical errors. Moving to page 2, lines 1 through 4, again, correct some totals that were errors and make some changes that are necessary to accommodate some of the additions later on. Lines 2.5 through 2.8 are just some changes to language on the fire suppression and pre-suppression that the DNR requested. Lines 2.9 through 2.15 is an addition of $1 million rider from the Game and Fish Fund for the ecological classification system. Line 2.16 removes some language regarding forestry costs, and we add some statutory language later on in the amendment to address that issue. 2.17 just makes a correction. 2.18 remove some redundant language, and that's through 2.20 or 2.19. 2.20 through 2.27 adds a rider on boat safety requested by the DNR. Lines 2.28 through the first part of page 3, this is the fix for the Conservation Corps adding the natural resource fund appropriation. Page 3, lines 3.6 through 3.2, adding that new section. This would remove a $25,000 cap on revenue deposits into the state parks working capital account. This was part of the governor's language that we've picked up at the request of the DNR. On 3.21, adding section the section on forest management investment account, and then on page 4 there's another section 5 on certified costs. This is the forestry section. Remember, we had the amendment deletes some language, and this is addressing that issue. Section 14, this is just a technical correction requested by the PCA, just recodifying the change on on costs, being able to charge back for financial assurance review, and this just moves it to a different part of statute. That goes on to page 6, and then on 6.3, this would remove the Breeding Bird Atlas project, and then 6.4 would add the Golden Eagle Survey project. These are all LCCMR projects. Page 6.14, this would add the Boreal Forest project we heard about. And then on 6.29, this would remove the EAB U of M project from the LCCMR. And then the rest is just some corrections.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Discussion. Representative Wagenia.
Thank you. I have two questions. One simple. Can we assume that on line 2.23, DNR is tracking specific outcomes from these grants to counties? Do we know that?
Representative Wagenius, I hope they're keeping track of how we're spending over $2 million and what the effects and results of that are. I mean, and we certainly, it's our responsibility to question them on that as this moves forward in the process. Representative Wagenius.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. These look like, I don't have any objection to where the money is going or what it's being spent for, but it does seem that we should have some way of tracking that we get good outcomes from the money. And I don't know whether that's language you might think about later or just have a conversation with DNR about.
Well Representative Wagenius, I think that's a great point, as we have, I believe tomorrow Representative Purcell may be presenting Representative Ward's bill on aquatic invasive species, and there's significant new amounts of money in our bill and in the governor's proposed budget that we need to see as we spend this new money. What are we getting? You make a good reference often to the amount of money spent down on the Minnesota River and how much were the results of that money being spent. And so I look forward to working with you on that issue as some of these large pots of money are in new direction, and what are the results of that. Representative Wagenius, more?
Yeah, that was just one. My second question is different. There's some changes to the LCCMR grants, and I would hope you could shed some light on the thinking about those changes.
Yes, thank you, Representative Wagenius. Those changes are on, members, on page 6 of the 813 amendment. First, it deletes the Bird Atlas funding, which we did have partial funding of the original LCCMR recommendation. They have a significant amount of money still in left over from what they're working on now, the phase two. So I think that they have other resources available to them. So at this time, I thought the Golden Eagle project was a very important one, and when you review the project, And then the other deletion was to remove the Emerald Ash study that the reality when I looked over the peer review, the peer review was not positive on the project. The peer review alluded to the thought that there's been similar studies across the nation and in Canada a number of times already, so that parts of this project were probably duplicative, and I think the funding would be better spent on the boreal forest in northern Minnesota. Dr. Frerich, somebody help me out, Dr. Frerich, thank you. Study of the boreal forest was really, really important, and we didn't have that in our recommendation. So I funded, I'm recommending we fund those two projects in lieu of the other project. Representative Wagenius.
It is difficult for us to respond to the deletion of the Emerald Ash Bore since you have looked at the peer review recently, and we haven't had an opportunity to hear anything about that and whether it's duplicative. This is coming out of the blue for us, and so it's a little hard for us to respond to that.
Well, Representative Wagenius, I didn't serve on LCCMR for the last 2 years like you did, but LCCMR had the peer review. That's where I got it from, so it was available for review, and I'm not sure why you haven't had a chance to look at it. Representative Wagenius.
No, that's not. This committee hasn't had a chance to review it. I supported it at the beginning. I supported it constantly. So I wouldn't want anybody to have the impression that I was questioning it. This has come up very late in the process, and members of the committee have not had a chance to review that. I'm the only one that has.
Okay, thank you. Representative Canute, was it to this point?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Canute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And, you know, it's really frustrating to come in and, you know, I know we had a day to look at all of this, since 7 last night, it looks like. I guess we did have some testimony from these different projects, and we had testimony from the projects that were potentially removed. And this one, did they have an opportunity? Did they know they were going to be in the bill removed? Did they have an opportunity to come in front of our committee?
I do not believe that Professor Kirchick has come before this committee.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I was just curious because I'm not, you know, if there was a number of groups that came and testified with their projects, and because they were either reduced or removed, and I was just curious if this project wasn't removed until now, maybe she wasn't feeling the need to come testify to the committee. Because, you know, I do think the LCCMR, there's a reason we have the LCCMR doing their work. The LCCMR looks at the peer review, they make recommendations, and I think they try to keep the politics out of it. And so it's frustrating now, late in the game, to have the expectation that committee members on this committee would be looking through every peer review and without the benefit of testimony and ability to ask questions. And I appreciate that you said, you know, you think this is more important or that's more important and this is my priority, but that's the purview of the chair, but I think it's really horrible for the process, and it's really frustrating trying to think about into the future and some of Minnesota's best scientists and some of the best projects not wanting to come forward and deal with the process because they get called in and don't, you know, have the rug pulled out from under them, essentially. And that's more overall about the process, but I also think this one is particularly frustrating because, you know, I have not seen the peer review on it, and I would have liked to have asked some questions about it because I do think understanding insecticide impacts on beneficial insects and birds is really important. And so I'm frustrated at being taken out now, but I really hope that the process we've seen with the LCCMR this year doesn't undermine the quality of projects coming forward into future years. And I'm hoping that it doesn't continue this sort of pulling the rug out from under late in the game and undermining what I think is a really important process and way to keep the focus on what the best projects are rather than shifting political wins.
Thank you. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And it's on a different point. On 2.10 to 2.15, the $1 million a year from the Game and Fish Fund, is that additional money? I'm trying to, you know, I don't think we had some testimony about the Game and Fish Fund going towards imbalance. Is this reallocation within what's already appropriate, or is this additional spending? And my second question would be, does the DNR support that provision?
To the second point, Representative Hansen, I believe it was a DNR provision, yes. And Ms. Taylor, to Representative Hansen's first point.
Mr. Chair, members, as far as I understand, it was not reflected in the original spreadsheet, so it is an additional $1 million above the committee's.
Ms. Taylor, Mr. Meyer, if you could come forward from the DNR.
Mr. Chairman, members, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. The language you're talking about, Representative Hansen, is from the governor's recommendations. It's $1 million from the heritage enhancement dollars, which are within the Game and Fish Fund, from the lottery and lieu sales tax. This is a continuation of a program that was funded last biennium, one-time dollars, to do our ecological classification system work within the Division of Forestry, which is reflective on all of the divisions in the department. And all land management agencies benefit from that work, knowing what is on the ground and what should be growing there and planted there and managed there. So it was an erroneous. We requested it originally in the governor's budget, and I worked with the chair to try to get that reinstated.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is from lottery in lieu of. It's not from the license fees.
Mr. Meyer is saying yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, yes. It's not from license fee dollars. It's an account within the Game and Fish Fund, which is part of the confusion that people had with it originally.
Anything to add, Mr. Reinholz?
Mr. Chairman, no, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. And Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I had a question just on 13.18 to 13.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
Point 23. Or 19 to 23.
Excuse me, Representative Hansen, which you're not on the A13?
I've got both of them here. So on A13, it would be lines 2.19.
And where in the bill, Representative Hansen, thank you.
Page 13, lines 18 through 23, or 19 through 23. And my question there, this looks like a deletion, Mr. Chair, of that these are restoration grants and that the appropriation that's the stricken language under the A13 amendment would be talking about appropriations encumbered for aquatic restoration and wildlife habitat grants are available. And I think the rationale for that is that some of the restoration work, they may encumber the dollars, but you have a 2 or 3 year burn cycle on maybe the habitat, or that there was additional time requested to make those rather than an acquisition, there's more time needed for restoration.
Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, the reason that was removed is if you look on lines 13.26 through 13.30, that language is repeated sort of as a general rider, so it was sort of duplicated for the specific.
So it's a redundancy removal.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, so it's a redundancy removal?
Yes. Representative Canute. I'm sorry, Representative Wagenius, it was.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had wanted to make one final observation about the project on the Emerald Ash Board that was removed. I remember the testimony very vividly. And if I also remember correctly, it was one of the top-ranked projects by LCCMR members. But the testimony, and the reason I remember it so vividly, is a second professor at the U came to talk about the project. Her name was Dr. Marla Spivak. And she had, like the day before, or some very in some recent time before the testimony, just received a MacArthur Award. It is, in the colloquial language, it's called a Genius Award. It's internationally recognized. And so she's one of the best scientists that we have at the University of Minnesota, and internationally recognized as one of the best scientists at the University of Minnesota. She was testifying about the need for this particular study. So I am really dismayed that this has been removed, that these two professors did not have an opportunity, had no idea that they needed an opportunity to come and talk to this committee. So I just wanted to register that strong dismay.
Thank you. Representative Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I still have a few questions on 2.10 to 2.15 of the amendment, and this is dealing with the additional $1 million. Was it just an error that it was missed before? Where did this money come from? And I mean, I understand like the functional area of the, where it come from, but how did it just get here? And then my other question is, as I understood what Mr. Meyer said, this was a one-time appropriation from the previous biennium. If this is meant to be ongoing funding, how come it hasn't been put into the base budget or hasn't put into a base request? I mean, when do we transition these from one-time appropriations to actually ongoing sources of funding? Because I think that there is a need for it, as they've evidenced, and so there should be some stability, at least in the planning for it.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, I'm sorry, I did not hear the first part of your question, but I think it was, where do these dollars come from?
And the fund balance, if you could give us. What's the name of the fund, and where's the money come from, and what's the approximate balance at the end of the biennium after this $2 million deletion? Mr. Meyer.
Chair, Representative Falk, I can get you the balances there, unless Mr. Reinholz has that readily available. The dollars come from, it's the sales tax that is generated or from the lottery sales tickets, lottery tickets. It's called the Lottery in Lieu Payment Program. So there's a calculation made on the sales tax from the lottery tickets, and it goes in a Lottery in Lieu account, of which statutorily it's appropriated to the Heritage Enhancement Account in the Game of Fish Fund. There's also some Lottery in Lieu dollars within Parks and Trails and in the Metro Parks programs. As far as being a one-time appropriation, this is not going to be an ongoing program, so to speak. We're doing ecological classification work. This is accelerating our work on the ground. And we will have an end certain, time certain, once we survey all the lands. So rather than, we can't, there's not a permanent line item for funding from the Heritage Enhancement of the Lottery and Lieu dollars. It's appropriated every 2 years.
Representative Fall. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand where the money comes from. I'm just saying that there's $2 million more dollars that show up that are being appropriated here in this amendment than we previously saw. So I just wanted to know if that was because there was an error in the data presented previously, or the fact that we have $2 million additional dollars being appropriated means it had to have come from somewhere. And that's just what I'm trying to get at.
Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, I think it would be best to consider that the DE1 amendment is the chair's recommendation to the committee. And this amendment, the A13, is still the chair's recommendations to amendments to the DE1, some of which are purely technical corrections, some of which are actual substantive changes. This would be a substantive change, so it could be considered really the chair's recommendation before the committee.
Representative Falk.
Thank you for that. So if this is the chair's recommendation to take this $2 million and remove it, if that $2 million hadn't been encumbered or appropriated someplace else, or what is being reduced, the numbers have to balance somehow. So it had to have come from somewhere, or it's going to this purpose. And so I just want to know where it's coming from.
Representative Falk, it's coming from the lottery in lieu money that goes into the enhancement, into this fund. The environment. The name of the fund, Mr. Meyer?
Mr. Chair, I understand that, but I'm asking if there's another program that's being reduced. No,
it's a fund balance being reduced, Representative Falk.
Okay, so we just didn't know what the fund balance was previously to...
Actually, Representative Falk, we did know what the fund balance was. The chair screwed up and didn't include it in the DE1, even though it was a governor's recommendation. Mr. Meyer, to the fund balance before
Mr.
and after.
Mr. Chair, Representative Falk, the fund balance in 2012, including this appropriation, would be $2.6, approximately $1 million moving up. The 2015 planning estimate would be over $7 million. So there's a balance in the account. And as the chair spoke of, this was in the governor's budget, and it was an oversight that we did not communicate trying to represent the needs for this program and these funding in the beginning.
Mr. Meyer, you're being generous. You asked me to include it, and I forgot.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Falk.
I do appreciate that. That does help clear it up. I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't something that was being moved from one pot to another pot, as oftentimes when you have as many amendments as we have before us, there's a lot of parts that are moving. So
Representative Falk, you're doing your job to question what I'm doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All those in favor of the A13 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion carries. Next, we'll do the A14 amendment, members. A14 amendment is an amendment that I had brought forward. Originally, it was included in the DE1. To change some things in the LCCMR from a grant agreement to a work program. And it actually, where I was concerned, it had citizen members of the LCCMR, I thought, gave them an opportunity to question the wisdom of the legislature and slow down projects. I really saw it as the citizens overruling potentially the legislature in funding. I think this is a compromise to that situation. It puts it back more like we normally would do. We will go back to doing the grant agreements. It will come back to staff, but it won't be subject necessarily to the LCCMR's approval. The LCCMR has a majority of members are citizens. And actually, under the current program, I think it only took 5 members, but LCCMR oftentimes doesn't have terrific attendance. So it's possible my concerns where the citizens would have what I believe really should not be authority to overrule the legislature. I believe this amendment, Representative Wagenius had also offered an amendment that we'll consider later. Part of her amendment does a lot of what I have in here, so I actually think this could have bipartisan support. Gets to my concerns originally to that amendment, to the A14. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'd just like to hear from the DNR on the LACON portion, just if they're okay with that. Section or 235 through 319. That's.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. The LACON was originally, again, it had oversight with LCCMR, and I thought it was more appropriate that the oversight be in the DNR, but in my original amendment, we really gave them blanket okay to spend the money without legislative oversight. My proposed amendment, if I understand it, and for those of you that are new, and it took me 9 years to figure it out, if the language in the bill is narrow, that means it's statutory. Am I correct, Ms. Taylor? If the language, when we see this, it's, what do you call it, rider language. If it's narrow, it's rider language. It's something we do every time. If we fill the whole page up, which you wonder why we don't sometimes fill the whole page up, that's stuff that's, what do you call it then?
Statutory.
Statutory. This is to put it in rider language, so this LawCon grant would come back every 2 years and be subject to legislative approval. That was kind of the landscape way of explaining that. Questions to that explanation? Ms. Taylor, you better fix what I just said. Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, what we've done is this new section on the LawCon is actually statutory. It isn't rider, but your original proposal would have given a statutory appropriation to the DNR and removed the LCCMR oversight. The compromise, as I understand it, is to keep the local share the same, but now the legislature would make a direct appropriation without recommendations from the LCCMR on the use of the state share.
Okay, thank you. Representative Hansen, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we could hear from DNR, if they're okay with that section.
Comments, DNR? Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members, Representative Hansen, as you may recall, Commissioner Landwehr did comment on this provision within his comments, and it was one that we supported. The language does work this way as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to get that on the record.
Thank you. Good. Representative Hansen, are you done? Representative Wagenius.
I'm just, Mr. Chair, I'm just assuming the repealer on 4.20 just deals with this narrow issue in this amendment.
Ms. Taylor, the repealer, I'm sorry. Representative Wagenius asked the repealer in this amendment. Does it deal? Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, there are three different sections that are being repealed. Section 84.027, subdivision 11, that's the current DNR LawCon reference. Section 116P.09, that, if you remember, we took testimony on the use of classified employees with trust fund dollars. We're just going to remove the prohibition rather than strike the ability of the LCCMR to approve that in the work program process. And then Section 116P.14 is the LawCon stuff that's being recodified in Chapter 84 in the amendment.
Thank you. All those in favor of the A14 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Next, I believe, Representative Dale.
Well, I'd like to offer an oral amendment. Just a very small oral amendment.
That's in order. Representative Dale, to your oral amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 37, section 15, the Wild Rights Quality Standards. My oral amendment would be, Mr. Chairman, on line 37.29, after the word is on the waters is, remove the two, which would make that 50 milligrams per liter. My thought is that I am supporting the science-based finding that will ultimately be forthcoming after everyone has done their work. But I suspect that this bill is going to pass out of this committee, and I would be, after talking to Representative Purcell about this and others, I would feel way more comfortable if this bill passed out with a 50 milligram per liter limit, even though I support the science and would prefer not to have any, having learned what I've learned, not have anything in here at all as far as prescription. I'd feel a lot better if this were a 50. And so that's the reason for my amendment.
To this point, Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would concur with Representative Dill on this. I think it's a good move. Thank you.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you. This is a lipstick on a pig amendment, I'm afraid, because we're not dealing with the underlying issue here. The underlying issue is if the legislature sets a standard, it is a invitation to major lawsuit, and we're not appropriating the money for the lawsuit, which would be another downside, because the original standard was science-based. This is a political decision, not a science decision. And I think there is a general sense here that we should go forward with a new science a new plan. I don't detect any. I hear some reluctance, but I think in general we agree that we should go forward. That, of course, is the correct thing to do. But we don't solve problems by changing the standard legislatively. I was worried when I first saw this in here that this was part of a negotiation for the legislature to set a standard. It doesn't get us where we need to be. In fact, I think it takes us backwards. So I'm sure there are the votes to change the standard now, but I think the more important thing is later to discuss this. Is this good language in the first place, or does it actually slow down the process that people want to speed up? And I think it does.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor of the Dill Amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay?
No.
Motion carries. Next, we'll back to the A1. I believe it's Representative Wagenius. It's to the A1, Representative Wagenius.
A1?
It's deletion of sections 14 and 15.
It's my amendment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me preface getting into the A1 here that I appreciate the effort just made here to change that standard. Representative Dill, I believe that the gesture is honorable. Because I do believe that the 250 was quite out of order, and with regard to science and with regard to the message that sends to some citizens in our state. But working directly with the A1 amendment here and the language that we have in section 14 and section 15, and I'm not going to spend any more time on section 15. I still recommend that be deleted as the A1 amendment asserts. But section 14, I believe that the primary reason that I'm opposed to section 14, and we had a little bit of discussion about this some days ago, is that in reality we're endeavoring to legislate history, and that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. We heard testimony, and I alluded to that several times, that we've got the Commissioner Austin was here, and this process that is laid out in section 14 is well underway. And this has been the governor's initiative, and I think much to his credit. And I can read a couple of sections here, looking at section 14, subsection B. Within 30 days of enactment, we're going to create an advisory group. The advisory group's created. Losing Troy, and he's working with the folks that are on the advisory group. That's history. Subsection C, after receiving advice from the advisory group, the commissioner, in consultation with natural resources, will review all scientific literature. That's well underway. Everybody in the state's looking at scientific literature. How much literature have you all had put in front of you in the last 10 days? That research is well underway. So I believe we're legislating history. And then let me go to subsection E. And I think that the final nail in the coffin, for me anyway, is that the Pollution Control Agency administrator, the commissioner, has the authority that's laid out in subsection E. He can work with a permittee to adjust as necessary sulfate discharges, and to make that viable. That's history. That's already part of a permit that's out there. So I just offer that I don't think it's our place to be looking backwards. I think we need to look forwards, and I think the process is well underway. So I would urge a vote in support of the A1.
Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chair, I won't repeat what Representative Purcell just said. I think he's exactly right about what this situation is. And Mr. Chair, I would just ask for a roll call vote on this amendment.
Thank you. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, Representative Paul.
Thank you. I'm trying to quickly read through Section E of this and just understand it. And so really, does the PCA have any real authority to do enforcement? If something were very egregious to happen, are they completely hindered by this? I'm hoping that nothing egregious would happen, but if we were to have a major incident, do they have the authority to actually go in and clean up that problem, or does this just allow them to only require monitoring by the permittee, that there is no basically restitution actions that can be taken?
Representative Falk, can you point me to Section E where you say...
37.13 may only require the permittee monitor sulfate concentrations and discharges, and if appropriate, based on site-specific conditions, implement a sulfate minimization plan to avoid or minimize sulfate concentrations during periods when wild rice may be susceptible to damage, but may not require expenditures for design and implementation of sulfate treatment technologies. So I'm just trying to understand, and maybe the agency could speak to this a little bit, if this limits their ability to actually fix a problem if one were to arise.
Mr. Kredelka, do you want to expand on this section? Mr. Kredelka.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. The provision on page 37 dealing with it, it is our understanding this deals more with the upfront issue of when permits are being put together. I don't know if you're talking more about remediation efforts, or the PCA does have the ability to go back into permits to reopen them up to make amendments to them as things are happening under current law.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, if a new permit is issued when this is in effect, I'm trying to understand if the agency has the ability to go back and, if something egregious were to happen, to fix that, because I think under this language and operating under this set of circumstances, I don't know if the agency has the authority or if they can go back and do things, because my interpretation says that you're very limited, that you can only require the permittee to monitor sulfate concentrations and discharges. And so if you're operating under this, sure, you can modify a permit, but if this is what the permit is that you're operating under, what authority do you have to enforce, or to maybe not enforce, but to fix problems?
Comment, Mr. Kredelka.
Mr. Chair and committee members, thank you for the clarification. You're correct. This does limit what we can put into the permit, and if we did reopen it, we would also be limited to what's in this language here, what could be done.
Representative Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this is a complex legal issue, and I really do think that this opens us up to a lot of liability, and I do think that this section of the bill does create problems, and as a result, I'm going to have to support Representative Purcell's amendment.
Representative Deal.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in light of the fact that there's a roll call on this, I'm going to have to ask that we divide the motion, or divide the A1 amendment between line 1.3 and 1.4, and vote on line 1.4 first.
Thank you. The clerk will call the roll.
McNamara?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Beard?
Nay.
Dill?
Yes.
Gruskowski?
No.
Fabian?
No.
Falk?
Yes.
Hackbarth?
No.
Hancock?
No.
Hansen?
Yes.
Hilty?
Yes.
Knuth?
Yes.
Purcell?
Yes.
Quam?
No.
Scott?
No.
Torkelson?
No.
Wagenius?
Yes.
There being 10 nays, 7 ayes, the amendment is not adopted. To the second half of the amendment, Representative Dill.
And for the record, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure we're going to be voting on line 1.3, which is section 14.
Correct.
I said we were taking line 1.4 first. We just voted on section 15.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions in that regard?
Mr. Chair, I thought we just did 1.4. Okay. Now we're doing 1.3.
Representative Hansen, do you want to make a motion to reconsider the vote we just take and re-vote?
No, I'm fine with the vote.
But did you clarify? Are you saying you believe something different than what Representative Dill just said, or you're codifying what Representative Dill said?
I believe that we voted on 1.4 first.
Is that what you said, Representative Dill?
No.
Representative Dill, do you want to make a motion to reconsider the vote we just take?
The vote, Mr. Chairman. For clarification, the reconsideration would then be we're voting on line 1.4, which is section 15.
Okay.
That was the first vote.
All those in favor of reconsidering the vote we just took, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, say nay. Okay. The clerk will call the roll again. Representative Dill, you will clarify what we are doing now.
We are voting to on section 15, line 1.4.
And Representative Dill, that's the setting the level at 50?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
McNamara?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Beard?
Nay.
Dill?
Now you got me confused. Yes.
Representative yes. Dill, take your time.
Yes, three times.
Drozkowski?
No.
Fabian?
Yes.
Falk?
Yes.
Hackbarth?
No.
Hancock?
No.
Hansen?
Yes.
Hilty?
Yes.
Knuth?
Yes.
Purcell?
Yes.
Quam?
No.
Scott?
No.
Torkelson?
No.
Wagenius?
Yes.
There being 9 nays and 8 ayes, the motion is not adopted. Representative Dill had divided the amendment to the second half of his amendment. Would now be dealing with section 14.
That's correct.
Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
McNamara?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Beard?
Nay.
Dill?
No.
Drozkowski?
No.
Fabian?
No.
Falk?
Yes.
Hackbarth?
No.
Hancock?
No.
Hansen?
Yes.
Hilty?
Yes.
Knuth?
Yes.
Purcell?
Yes.
Quam?
No.
Scott?
No.
Torkelson?
No.
Wagenius?
Yes.
There being 11 nays and 6 ayes, the motion is not adopted. To the A2 amendment. Representative Knuth.
Mr. Chair, that's my amendment. The A2 amendment is related to section 12 on line or on page 35. It there's some language in here about the goal of the permanent school trust fund lands, and I know there's other members who've been doing a lot more work on this, and I think it's important work and work that this committee and others should be addressing, but I'm not convinced that getting rid of the using sound natural resource conservation and management principles and is an important thing to do to actually accomplish what we need to do on school trust fund lands, and I think it could potentially be detrimental. And so the amendment simply moves to strike that section of the bill. And, Mr. Chair, I had a question. I'm not really understanding what just because we had the forest industry testifying last night, and they were very careful to not take a position either way, I think kind of masterful at it, actually. And so I don't really see this relating with forestry, and so I'm not quite sure what this accomplishes and what it's trying to do. If you'd be willing to answer that question.
Representative Canute, I think it gives the DNR clear direction on that they're supposed to manage the school trust lands consistent with the constitutional language. I believe that the additional language on lines 35.21 and 35.22 muddies the waters on what the legislature is telling the DNR about managing school trust land. Representative Canute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I'm not sure how it muddies the water. The forestry industry is very, you know, is neutral on this, and I'm not sure what other areas it would be related to. And I think long-term sound natural resource conservation and management principles just seems like a good idea, you know, in terms of fiduciary responsibility long-term. I don't know why you would want to remove that, and I don't really think it gets at the goal of trying to maximize the to have someone responsible for maximizing the economic return on the school trust fund lands. I think it could, in some cases, be detrimental to it. So I would hope members would vote to remove this section of the bill.
Representative Hill.
Mr. Chair, I just would ask for a roll call on this vote.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to note that if the question is this constitutional, it would have been good to have some folks who deal in constitutional matters testify, because I don't think there is a constitutional question here at all. Moreover, the way the courts interpret the Constitution, they always give deference to reading the Constitution as with the will of the legislature in mind. And so they would read it favorably toward calling something constitutional, not unconstitutional. So with this, I just think this is wrong. It is, and we're going to vote on it, so I'm glad there's a roll call.
Clerk will call the roll.
McNamara?
No.
Anderson?
No.
Beard?
Nay.
Dill? Drazkowski?
No.
Fabian?
No.
Falk?
Yes.
Hackbarth?
No.
Hancock?
No.
Hansen?
Yes.
Hilty?
Aye.
Knuth?
Yes.
Purcell?
Yes.
Quam?
No.
Scott?
No.
Torkelson?
No.
Wagenius?
Yes.
There being 10 nays and 6 ayes, the motion, the amendment is not adopted. We're going to do the A-10 amendment. I believe it's Representative Hilty's amendment. We have, A-12. Representative Hilty, to your amendment, if you could tell us what number it is.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, it is the A-12 amendment. I would move the adoption of the A-12 amendment.
Is there members of the audience that would like to speak to the A-12 amendment? If you could come forward and identify the testifier for the record.
Hello, my name is Andrew Palmberg, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm an intern for the Minnesota Commission serving deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing Minnesotans. Again, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, for letting me speak. I'm speaking in favor of House File 1074. This bill was passed in 2009 that was related with civil rights and equal access for people with disabilities to access e-government services and government documents and captioning. Part of my job at the commission serving deaf, deafblind, and hard of hearing Minnesotans allows me to interact with a lot of the legislative assistants. I make appointments with them to meet with their legislators. And I've noticed that a lot of the legislative assistants are watching the captioning on TV with the sound off. And that's kind of what we call an electronic curb cut. Just like a sidewalk curb cut helps people with wheelchairs, but it also assists people who ride bicycles, shoppers, parents with strollers. Representative Westrum's was the chief author on this bill, and I'm here to ask the members of this committee to extend the sunset clause on this bill so that we can continue the great work and continue providing improved access to government services. Thank you.
Thank you. Question? All those in favor of the Hilty Amendment say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. The A-12 is adopted. Members, to the A-5 Amendment. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is my amendment. If you'll remember, members, we earlier thought that it would be a good idea to transfer some of the functions of the legislature to the administration. And I want to say right up front that I support Governor Dayton and his administration. But I think that there's some times that the legislature should retain some of the authorities that it has and some of the oversight that it has. So that is what this A5 amendment is doing. It is returning the requirement that the LCCMR do work programs rather than having DNR do grant agreements. But there's another reason that I think this is particularly important, and that's accountability and outcomes. What this required work program does is make sure that there are defined outcomes for all of the money. The public gets to see it. It has prevented lots of misuse of public money for administration, folks who want to use LCCMR funds for lots of personnel and that kind of thing. And that is, I don't think that we want to do that. It saved the citizens lots of money over a long period of time. And I think that the oversight is especially important with the funds that are constitutionally dedicated. The citizens are particularly supportive of those funds. The citizens keep their eye on the lottery funds more. They just look at them more. And I think you all know that. Lottery funds and the legacy funds, citizens want to know exactly what the outcomes are. So if we just say go to a grant agreement, give people money, let them go off and spend it the way they want to without the oversight of a work program, I think citizens are going to be very unhappy. So with that, I would just like to say one last thing. And there have been lots and lots of legislative auditor reports that have looked at the work program system that the LCCMR uses. And it's the gold standard. It is the standard by which everything else is compared. So with those three statements, Mr. Chair, I understand you in your amendment may have done part of this, and I would ask that staff would reconcile anything where your amendment would have superseded this, but that this would be in addition. And with that, I would offer the amendment.
Representative Wagenius, did you want to speak to the other part of the amendment of the projects you're cutting and giving more to the administration of the LCCMR?
Thank you.
If I'm not mistaken, that's part of your amendment also.
Yes. The part of the amendment is we are returning the $118,000 of cut to the LCCMR staff because it takes staff to get the accountability done. And what I did was just prorate it across all of the other projects. They're pretty small reductions over the other projects where the money was being spent. I didn't single out one. It was supposed to be prorated.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor of the A5s? I'm sorry. Representative Qualm.
Mr. Chair, these dollar adjustments, are they affecting, are there any that aren't compatible with the previous amendment we just passed?
Members, Representative Qualm, the previous amendment we passed did not deal with funding the administration and cutting projects. Representative Qualm, Representative Wagenius, or Ms. Taylor, do you know, it's a good point, Representative Qualm, the two projects that were in an amendment that I offered, are either one of those projects partially affected by this amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, no. These would only be within the subdivision on emerging issues.
Thank you, Representative Qualm. Good question. Representative Qualm.
Mr. Chair, then, since this is trying to balance across the projects, I think would be appropriate to the Eagle and the climate change ones were added in A13 to also have them trimmed by the same percentage. Since that was the intent of the amendment by the author, was to evenly spread.
Representative Qualm, it does not evenly spread. Representative Wagenius picked a certain number of projects to defund part of them to fund the administration of the LCCMR.
Okay.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm wondering, maybe a request. I'm wondering if are we going to be recessing here at 10 o'clock? I know I've got an appointment I need to get to, but wondering if Representative Wagenius could come back with a cleaner amendment that would remove the redundancies between hers and yours. I've got a general question about this. I just want to be clear. This amendment would restore some of the reductions to the administrative side of the LCCMR, which certainly that's the part I've got problems with, Mr. Chair, but certainly I'm in agreement with the earlier part or the part of the amendment that attempts to bring together your effort.
Representative Drazkowski, if you want the citizens to have additional oversight, vote yes. If you want the LCCMR administration to have additional money, vote yes. If you do not want the citizens to have additional oversight over what the legislature does, or if you think that the LCCMR could use electronic means, less tour bus tours and state airplane rides around to look at projects that already have been built, vote no. Representative Drazkowski, do you need more clarification on the A5 amendment?
Oh, I guess I don't, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
All those in favor of the A5 say yes.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Members, we are at the hour that Representative Drazkowski was talking about. We have a number of amendments yet to do. We will be back tonight at 6 o'clock in room 10. And at that point, members, we are in recess, and the staff is going to have to work late again tonight. Welcome, members. We'll reconvene the Environment, Energy, Natural Resources Committee back to order. The next order of business was the A6 amendment. The A6 amendment, I think it's Representative Hancock. I believe that's your amendment.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the A6 amendment. What it does basically is just substitutes on page 46, line 10, deletes the word scientific and natural and inserts state recreation area acquisition.
Representative Hancock, and what project is it in reference to?
This is in reference to the... Excuse me, Mr. Chair. This is in reference to the Lake LaSalle Recreation Area.
Okay, thank you. Questions for Representative Hancock. Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I know the DNR commissioner had wanted to change this to the state recreation area. I have a question about that. I think this project is also receiving some funding from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, and so it's a layered project with LCCMR and Outdoor Heritage. And I have received some commentary about price acceleration on this, and the seller then having a campground, and then the campground coming. I'm just a little confused on what's happening with this project and how much, what is the true final cost on this, and whether it's a scientific, natural, or a state recreation area.
Representative Hanson, this Lake LaSalle is a three-legged stool. One part of it is Lassard Sam Outdoor Heritage funding in the $4+ million arena. In that funding, if I'm not mistaken, it's open-ended. It does not call out that it is either a WMA, an AMA, state rec area, or an SNA. I think it leaves it more open-ended, if I remember that correctly. There is approximately $2 million of funding in LCCMR. I think it is $2 million, $1 million each year. And then there's a proposal that's before the Parks and Trails part of the legacy funding that I believe is just a little bit over $2 million that is a request that would be the third leg of the stool. If I'm not mistaken, that may also call for that area to be an SNA, and that's Representative Hancock's bill, so I guess it'd probably be, if you were wondering, Representative Hancock, if you want to speak to that, what your intentions are with that part. I believe that's currently designated to be an SNA. I'm not positive on that, but you may know it's your bill.
Well, I have met with people in the area. We talked to the Hubbard County Board, Fern Township, and citizens in the area, and they are really feel that this is the spirit of the legacy and the LCCMR, in the sense of this is a very pristine lake. It's going to be a very good recreation area, and we want to use it to the maximum use of our citizens for hunting and so on. And what this does is it basically makes the whole project a recreation area, which is what the people want. And I think it also makes it easier for the DNR to administer it. And there's one area there with the existing resort that is on the lake. Other than that, it's very pristine all the way around it, totally surrounded area. And that we could manage with perhaps a lease type agreement, even privately. But it gives the DNR some options, which I think they would really like in terms of how that area is managed.
Representative Hanson, but just to clarify, Representative Hancock, that third leg of the stool, the campground, is not part of...
It's not part of this.
Not part of this. No. Your amendment here is talking about the LCCMR part that was to be designated an SNA, and your amendment would change that.
Change it to make the entire project, which is approximately 10,000 acres. Approximately 1,000 acres around the lake, into the single classification of a state recreation area.
Representative Hancock, I don't believe that this amendment changes the campground part. I believe
no,
that would need... you said it would make... The campground is currently, I believe, still to be designated an SNA. That amendment in legacy, or when it comes here, if it's your intention that that be state rec area, we would have to make that adjustment to that bill also. I don't believe this designation would change it for that leg, or Mr. Meyer, maybe I'm perceiving it wrong. Maybe this designation does change both of those legs. Representative Hancock.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You're absolutely correct. This amendment here does not apply to the campground area. I don't believe that this applies to the portion that was funded through the LCCMR.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. Representative Hancock's amendment is changing the language on the appropriation for the Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund so that we can use it for the state rec area rather than the scientific and natural area. Our intention is to designate the entire unit as a state recreation area. There's funding from the one leg of the stool, as you mentioned, from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, which is flexible and allows it to be used for the Lake LaSalle project, I believe, kind of paraphrasing the language. It doesn't designate it as a wildlife management area or any unit of the Outdoor Rec Act, so it allows us to purchase the land with that. What our intentions are is to designate the entire area around the lake, including the campground piece of this, as a state recreation area, and then manage it together as one unit.
Mr. Meyer, I'll go to Representative Hansen. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I understand the project and support the project. My question is this going to be one transaction with multiple funds for one transaction, or is it separate parcels with different funds for each parcel?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, good question. It will be one transaction, one purchase price, combining the funds from each, the dollars from each of the funds, making sure that the documentation and the recording requirements, reporting requirements for each different fund are met. The accomplishment plan, for example, work program, things like that we need to do so that each oversight group watching these dollars understand what the outcomes are and what they're getting for those dollars.
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Meyer, is the purchase agreement signed? Are we set on our price?
Mr. Meyer, are you the one signing the purchase agreement?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, we're working in conjunction with the Trust for Public Land on this issue. They have an option on the land, and we're working with them in conjunction to have this acquisition take place.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Meyer, is the resort owners, are they the seller?
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, I believe so, yes. The owner, they own the entire piece of land. All, it's like close to 1,000 acres, I want to say.
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, I think this is a great opportunity around the lake. I've seen the pictures. Representative Hancock know that. My concern is the changing goalposts potentially on this, that there may be changes relating to price, and what I've heard is that the seller may be considered as an operator under contract for a campground if it comes to the DNR, and that's just what I've heard. So I'm wondering on if that's accurate or if those things are negotiable, or you've said that there's an option but not a purchase agreement yet. So that's the reason for my question.
Representative Hansen, if I could, the discussion in regards to the campground is the ongoing one, and it's not part of either this bill or the Lessard Sams. But I would encourage members, if they have ideas on the operation of that campground or thoughts on how that can fit, we have to realize we have significant reductions in this bill to the state park operation. We have to be very careful before we move forward and put additional operations on the state. So if we're going to move forward with this campground, it's my thought that we would look at ways that would not put additional strain on the state. What other ways are there of operating this campground? My understanding, Mr. Meyer, is the owner is not interested in selling parts of this land. It's kind of, they said, if we're going to sell it, we want to sell it all. And that's where the Trust for Public Lands has gotten involved. But your thoughts along those lines, Representative Hansen, as that one's developing. That's not part of this bill, but I think we have to realize that that campground and how it's going to fit and be run, that it not be something that puts additional pressure on DNR's parks operations. They can't take it. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I understand. And part of the other part of my question was, if we haven't had a purchase agreement yet, and we've worked on acquisitions in Dakota County, that there are sometimes changes in purchase agreements and options. We have $2 million committed here out of lottery. We have additional dollars out of LSOHC. And if the price inflates and we have parks and trails, then we've got another challenge here in terms of the price. So Mr. Meyer said that those are pooled. That's one deal where we put the multiple pools in there. And so I think if we've approved this appropriation, we should realize the layering, but that may not be the whole thing if the purchase order has not been signed yet.
And Representative Hansen, to that point, Representative Hancock didn't mention it, but if this does not go through, if I'm not mistaken, in the LaSalle-Sams money, that would go to their list of priorities if LaSalle didn't happen. This one, Representative Hancock, if I'm not mistaken, you've changed this. The original proposal from LCCMR would have spent this money on other SNA projects, I believe, if this $2 million didn't get spent. If I'm not mistaken, Representative Hancock, if you could explain line 1.8. Representative Hancock, to this point.
Yeah, let me find the actual bill here on 46.
Members, it would be page 46 of the bill.
Yeah, be on page 46 of the bill, and what it does is it strikes basically line 46-22, and it ends there with "then the appropriation is canceled," and the next lines are struck up to where it says "up to $10,000 may be retained by the Department of Natural Resources at the request of the Trust for Public Land for transactional cost associated with professional services," and so on. So it does does cancel that designation to where it goes to scientific and natural area acquisitions.
And I believe, Representative Hansen, it would go to the bottom line of LCCMR, back to them for reprioritization instead of just going to the SNA DNR's priority list. Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, would it go to the bottom line or would it go back into the corpus?
We might need Ms. Thornton, but I believe that with the cycle they're on, they would have a year to spend this money before it would go back to the corpus. I believe LCCMR this summer could develop a priority if we found out, she is nodding yes, that it would go back in the LCCMR with where we're at in the biennium. That's a good question. If it was the next year, Representative Hansen, I think your scenario would be true. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason that this was called a scientific and natural area and LCCMR set the money in is because we were told that part of the land was and should be an SNA. Not the whole parcel of land, but a portion of it should be an SNA. And it was under that was because we were told that, I think that people said, yes, we can spend $2 million on it. The problem that I see here is that Representative Hancock is saying, use it to the max, and an SNA is different. You don't use it to the max. It's a scientific and natural area. So I'm not understanding, did the land change? What's going on here? I thought that we were just that it was going to be purchased as a whole and that a sub-portion of that was going to be designated as an SNA, not the whole thing, but a sub-portion of it, because it was unique. And that is what we were told. So I'm not understanding why the switch and why, if it's that unique, we would want to use it to the max. I mean, the rest of it, yes, but that part is the question.
Representative Hancock, did you want to elaborate at all on what you've heard from your constituents in regards to LaSalle Lake and designation?
In the meeting that I had with the people right from the area about 5 miles east of LaSalle, they were excited and extremely grateful that they could get back and fish and hunt in the lake. It's been where they haven't had access to it for a number of years, and they expressed just that they were happy to have it back into where it was going to be used for good recreational purposes, and they could hunt and fish and take their families there and use it as a recreational area.
Okay, thank you.
That was the main input from the people.
Okay, Mr. Meyer, we heard Deputy Commissioner Shad last night say they hope that LaSalle would be a state rec area. Any need for the department to elaborate on that?
Mr. Chairman, members, just really quickly, to us, this is just a technical change. Go to Representative Wagenius's question. We are still going to manage that section of land differently than other pieces of that land to protect the rare attributes that originally were presented as a scientific and natural area. The categorization of this as a state rec area is to help us deal with the management and the on-the-ground management and costs associated with that unit, and also to make sure that people understand what it is that they can and can't do on that property more easily. I don't have the maps with me right now. I think when this project was first being unfolded and discussed, the different categories were designated because of the way the different funding sources looked at things. So the Lasard Sam's Council was a wildlife management area that you could hunt on because that's what their focus of funding is. It's easier to get money or to fund projects for wildlife management areas and other things with those dollars for some people. The LCCMR, the scientific and natural attributes of the, it's basically the same type of land, but there's scientific and natural area attributes of one side of the lake fit the requirements or the qualifications for LCCMR, and it was going to be managed as an SNA at that point. Then the parks piece is a park. But as we put all those pieces together, it just made more sense to have one classification on it and manage it as one unit, which we can manage attribute for attribute, if that makes any sense.
Representative Wagenius.
It makes sense to have it all as one unit. But I am wary, given this shifting sands here, of how we're going to protect the portion of it that we were told was really quite good, really quite rare, and that's why we should put our money down on the table. And so people accepted it. It was really good, really quite rare, let's put our money down on the table. So within this designation of the whole thing being a state rec area, and I understand people want to hunt on most of it and swim on another part of it and fish on another part of it, that's fine. But my question is about the portion that was said to be really, really nice as a scientific and natural area. So can you have a sub-designation within the state rec area? And if you do not, then how do we know that piece of the land will be protected as if it were an SNA?
Mr. Meyer. Members, we can designate subunits within a unit. I think the easiest way that we'll be dealing with this is in the development of the master plan, the management plan, and the designation order will address most of those concerns. And then we can work through that process to make sure that you all understand how we're going to do that. I could provide you more information on how that will be developed and the timelines as well, and probably some draft language representative that may be included in there, working with our SNA and state park staff.
Representative Purcell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm on the bill with Representative Hancock to try and gain access for this this area and body of water, and I don't recollect what exactly that language said, Representative Hancock, but I do believe that and want to offer to the state DNR that this is a unique body of water. I'm confident that anybody's looked at that, the second deepest body of water inland in Minnesota, 240 feet deep, and I do believe you can still fish on it. I mean, I fished on it. You get in through the river, there's a little access there, and you can swim in it, but that water's colder than me. I'll get out. My kids learned to swim in this lake. I've got some sentimental value here. My kids learned to swim. Hubbard County has taught swimming lessons there. We used to live in Hubbard County 30-some years ago. Yeah, they come home looking blue. But that speaks to why didn't the resort that's there take off? Because it's too cold to swim that lake. Why isn't it fished by everybody and their brother? Because it's hard to fish. From me to you, it's 100 feet deep from the shoreline. Go fish that. So I'm just, there's some scientific and natural value to this, and let's don't lose that in the, you know, trying to develop this as recreation. I just want to be on the record for that. This is too important, but there aren't lakes like this, dime a dozen. We have a lot of lakes in our districts up there, but this is a gem.
Thank you. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this question is probably for Mr. Meyer. Being new to this committee and this whole SNA, all these different designations, I'm just wondering how many SNAs we have in the state of Minnesota, if you have an idea, and how many acres those encompass.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, Representative Scott, I don't have that with me. I do have our SNA coordinator here that can get that. She could come down, or I can certainly provide that to you individually as well, or send an email to the committee.
Representative Scott, do you want her to come down? Have her come down, Mr. Meyer.
Sure.
If you could identify yourself for the record, and if you know approximately how many SNAs, and Mr. Meyer, then after that, you could maybe tell us how many state rec areas there are, if you happen to know that.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I'm Peggy Booth. I supervise the State Scientific and Natural Area Program. We have 152 state scientific and natural areas that encompass about 184,000 acres. Most of that 184,000 acres is in 16 peatland SNAs, which were designated by statute, and that encompasses about 150,000 acres out of that 184,000.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Meyer, and the number of state rec areas?
Mr. Chair, we have 7 right now.
Okay.
And each have their own individual purpose. The Gilbert off-highway vehicle state rec area, for example, is a motorized state rec area. Greenleaf state rec area is kind of a hunting state rec area. Cuyuna Country state rec area has a mountain bike trail system in there, and camping and things like that. So,
Mr. Meyer, we weren't laughing at you. Representative Erdahl happened to walk by while you just mentioned one of the newer state rec areas.
I saw him in the monitor.
Yes. Representative Dill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, yes.
Chair,
Representative Dill.
Representative Hancock, is your county aware that there may be no pilt?
Representative Dill, you might be speaking a little prematurely. Representative Drazkowski has an amendment yet to come tonight that you may find of interest. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to understand, so SNAs restrict the people access is, you know, please enlighten us on some of the parameters and restrictions of access to the general public.
Ms. Booth?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative. By statute, SNAs are open to the public, and a majority of our acres, 87% of our acres, are open to some form of public hunting. Because of the sensitive nature, the purpose by statute of state scientific and natural areas is to protect rare features, typically rare plants and animals, native plant communities, and geological features. And because of that, state rules guide us to have less intrusive recreation, but we do have public use of almost all of our state scientific and natural areas, except a less than a handful of sites that are either heron rookeries or special nesting areas that might have restrictions during a portion of the year.
Representative Kwong.
Mr. Chair, so doing the math, that's over 24,000 acres that have no public access?
No.
Ms. Booth.
Excuse me. There's probably less than 100 acres that have no public access. I said that 87% of them are open to, 87% of the acres are open to some form of public hunting. And the public is invited for hiking, bird watching, and nature study virtually all of the acreage.
Representative Kwong.
And what was the intent to the special portion of this property for access restriction?
Ms. Booth, are you familiar with the property?
Yes, and, yes I am.
Ms. Booth.
Chair and representative, I have been on the property. A majority of this site is mapped by the Minnesota County Biological Survey as a native plant community. The intention, if any portion of it were to be SNA, that would be open to public hunting and fishing. We would want to take care that there be no harm to the rare orchids that are on the site, and we would want to take care in terms of any motorized trails or horse trails or anything like that they do not damage the native plant communities.
Representative Kwong.
Mr. Chair, again, specifically, what taking care is not very explanatory to me. Maybe someone that's been involved a great deal, that is, tells you exactly what the restrictions are. But can you be more specific that you can't have more than X number of people? You know, what is, you know, the restricted activity?
Ms. Booth.
Okay. Specifically, by state rules, there are a number of activities that are not allowed on state scientific and natural areas unless it's through a commissioner's designation order or by a permit. So any portion of this site that would be designated for SNA, we would allow hunting and fishing in that designation order. If in the process of the master planning and so forth that Mr. Meyer referred to, it became important to have a trail cross a portion of the scientific and natural area, as long as that trail stayed away from sensitive features like the orchids, we would allow a trail, but that would have to be specified in the designation order. The only kinds of things that would not be likely to be allowed because of the rules would be motorized vehicles, and the rules read that things that are purely for social activity aren't to occur on scientific and natural areas. And while I had nothing to do with this, the rules don't allow some things like geocaching. So if there was a decision that it made sense to allow that activity on this site, then we would also want to make an exception in the commissioner's designation order.
Representative Kwong.
One last clarification. So if I were to go to that area, I could walk through that area. I would not be restricted to designated trails?
Ms. Booth.
Yes, Representative, that is correct. You could walk anywhere you want, and there are no restrictions by law on the number of people that can use it.
Ms. Booth, I'm trying to remember. I've got a few smaller SNAs in my neighborhood, and I was thinking that if I was on the adjoining property with my dog, I had to be careful. Are some SNAs off limits to dogs, or am I remembering that wrong?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the rules that govern state scientific and natural areas do not allow pets. So if dogs are allowed, and there is probably, I would say 20 or 30 SNAs where dogs are permitted at any time, that needs to be specified in the designation order. In addition, those SNAs where hunting is allowed, there's a presumption that if the hunting involves hunting dogs, those kinds of dogs are allowed.
So there's 150 SNAs that dogs aren't allowed in?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I don't know if this is helpful, but I've got section 86A.05 in front of me, and this might be helpful just to some things I've highlighted here. State Recreation Area Purpose Subdivision 3 says to provide a broad selection of outdoor recreation opportunities in a natural setting which may be used by large numbers of people. And it goes on to specify under Clause C that primarily to provide as broad a selection of opportunities for outdoor recreation as is consistent with maintaining a pleasing natural environment. The similar descriptions under the Scientific and Natural Areas Subdivision 5 are shall be established to protect and perpetuate in an undisturbed natural state, and under Subdivision I can't see the structure here, but further down, to preserve, perpetuate, and protect from unnatural influences. The question I would have further on in Subdivision 5, the statute goes on to outline the use at the discretion of the agency. For Ms. Booth here, under Clause C, at the discretion of the managing agency, each scientific and natural area shall be designated as one of the following types, and there are three types. The first is a research unit. Use is limited to programs conducted by qualified scientists and college graduate and postgraduate students. The second is educational unit. Permitted uses include all activities in the research unit, plus primary, secondary, and college undergraduate programs. And the third use is a public use unit. Permitted uses include all those permitted in the research and educational unit and interpretive programs for the benefit of the general public. So, Ms. Booth, I would ask you those hunting, it sounds like limited hunting interpretations or uses allowed in rule, I'm assuming it would come under number three there. Is that correct? And can you expound any more?
Ms. Booth.
Yes. Chair and representative, with the exception of by Butterwort Cliffs, which is an SNA on Lake Superior, whose purpose is nesting, that's an example of a site that has restricted use. Another example of a site with restricted use is we have an SNA designated, it was a donation, within the fence of the Blaine Airport. It's property owned by the Metropolitan Airport Commission, and we have a conservation easement on it. That's another example of an SNA that is not open to public use. There, as I indicated before, there are probably less than 100 acres, and I could get that specific number to you, of the whole SNA system that does not fall into that third category. So certainly our preference is that all the SNAs where it is appropriate, they are public use units. And then the public use is for the purposes outlined in statute and is guided by the rules.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Follow-up. Representative Draskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Booth. I've been in one SNA that's in my district, and I don't remember the specifics, but I remember driving up to it, and I was almost alarmed by the signs that basically told me to turn around and go back. Do you remember That wasn't meant literally, Ms. Booth. What do those signs say when you come in there and you are limited in your ability to use our state resources?
Ms. Booth.
Chair and Representative. At the entryway of our state scientific and natural areas, there's usually a single sign that does list the rules, and it does say no camping, and in the case of the one you were at, it probably said no fishing, no collecting of rocks and so forth. So I think your perception that there is a sign there that does list a lot of do nots is an accurate perception, and I think that's something that we could work on making the public feel more welcome.
Thank you, Ms. Booth. To the A6 amendment. All those in favor say aye. I'm sorry. Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had one question to ask, and just trying to understand this a little bit, but it seems like the SNA areas really aren't managed intensively or managed really at all. And I'm just curious, if this is designated as a state recreation area, if the management would be different for it and if actually you would have a higher cost to operate or to manage that parcel of property.
Ms. Booth.
Chair and Representative, in the statute, it basically, with the state recreation area, sets forth that the commissioner shall develop it for recreational purposes, whereas the parallel language for state scientific and natural areas, and I can find that here, says that physical development shall be limited to the facilities absolutely necessary for the protection, research, and education projects, and where appropriate for interpretive services. So typically, state scientific and natural areas cost less to operate because we'll have a modest parking lot and signs, and that's about it. But we do natural resource management in order to protect the rare features that are there.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess with that in mind, I'm less inclined to support the amendment if there's going to be additional costs. I'm not sure if Representative Hancock had comment to that or not. I mean, if this is going to be designated entirely, if there is the ability to pay for that further operational cost.
Mr. Meyer, to the management of this
Mr.
land.
Chair, members, the management cost is, we aren't going to put trails on this. I mean, it's open for hunting. It's natural land. Representative Purcells has spoke of the property. The intention of managing it as a state rec area is to help us deal with the multiple disciplinary units that people have thought of this going to be in the future. WMA, SNA, Park, it doesn't make sense for us to have three different units on one contiguous property. So it's not a management cost issue. It's more of a just how we're going to classify it and run it. This unit will be administered through the Division of Parks and Trails for hunting, for fishing, for nature watching. It's not an issue about cost or money. It's efficiencies and helping the public understand what they can and can't do there and not having boundaries within one unit. We don't want to have somebody walk up to a WMA boundary or an SNA boundary and have a different set of rules apply. It's about access and making sure people can enjoy the property the most efficient way possible. So.
Thank you. All those in favor of the A6 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
No.
Motion carries. To the A7 amendment, who's got, is it Representative Drazkowski? Is that yours, A7?
Yes,
Representative Drazkowski to the A7 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the A7 amendment would address the concerns that I've heard from my district about mature, valuable resource that's growing in our state parks that has not been allowed to be harvested. And specifically, members, we're looking at black walnut timber resources. I've got folks I know, for those who aren't familiar with black walnut, it's as far as I know the most valuable tree that we have in Minnesota. There are trees in southeast Minnesota that are growing today that are over $5,000 in value, some even more. I've heard from very credible people about the availability of these resources in both Whitewater and Frontenac State Parks, and this amendment would allow the agency to go in and harvest those merchantable black walnut resources that are there, which would still fulfill members the requirements of our state park. As a matter of fact, I think we've got a notwithstanding clause there just to make certain. But members, as I do read the 86 section 86A.05, I don't see anything specific in here that would even prohibit that, even though the agency testified, at least according to statute, that they weren't allowed to cut. I don't see anything in here that prohibits it. There might be something, Mr. Chair, in the rules. I'm not sure. But members, this would allow the opportunity to provide the agency the ability to go in, harvest these resources. And, Mr. Chair, I've got I've got an amendment that I'd like to make to this amendment. Mr. Chair, on line...
Representative Jaskowski, can you give us your oral amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. On line 1.9, I'd like to strike general fund and insert state park accounts within the natural resources fund. State park accounts within the natural resources fund. So, Mr. Chair, this
would... Excuse me, Representative Jaskowski. Ms. Taylor, did you get that? Why don't we have her read it back? Representative Jaskowski, we're going to have Ms. Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, members, it would be on line 1.9, delete general fund, and I think you'd want it to say state parks account within the natural resources fund or resource fund.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Taylor. Representative Jaskowski, to your oral amendment, I believe, Representative Jaskowski, you can just incorporate that into your amendment, and then we'll take it all as one.
I'd like,
you know, it's your amendment.
I'd like
Representative Jaskowski, to your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
As amended.
Members, that's really the testimony. I don't have a fiscal note. Obviously, it'll be a positive fiscal note. These are very high-value timber species or resources, I should say. I talk to folks around these state parks, and they are looking at the rotting of these mature, very valuable species, and just at the same time, they are looking at a $5 billion deficit, and they are wondering what state government is doing. So this incorporates some common sense. It allows full flexibility for the agency to use their experience in going in and bringing out the valuable timber without providing any degradation to the resource, Mr. Chair.
Representative Jaskowski, if the department determines that it would be not make environmental sense to cut down a black walnut tree, even though it might have large value because it was in an environmentally sensitive spot, does this amendment require them to cut any trees down?
I view it, Mr. Chair, as it says line 1.6, shall assess the resources and then harvest the resources that are suitable for harvest. And, Mr. Chair, the intention here is for the agency to assess those resources as they normally would black walnut resources. Again, this is very merchantable timber, very high-value timber.
So, Representative Jaskowski, if they determine that it was not environmentally sensible to cut a specific tree down, they could decide to not cut that tree down?
No.
Mr. Chair, it says they shall assess the resources. I don't see any reason that I'm not following exactly how they would destroy the resource or damage the resource. Mr. Chair, we're just directing the agency to go in and take the highest value, which could amount to, I'm told, in Frontenac State Park, to 1 to 2 stems per acre. Mr. Chair, with all of your expertise, you understand very well that would leave probably 99% of the trees of that species in the stand.
Representative Drazkowski, that was my point. What you just said is what I thought you were intending to do. Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's have a roll call on this.
Okay. Roll call being requested. Clerk will call the roll.
McNamara?
Aye.
Anderson?
Yes.
Beard?
Aye.
Dill?
Yes.
Drazkowski?
Yes.
Babian?
Yes.
Falk?
No.
Hackbarth? Hancock?
Yes.
Hansen?
No.
Hilty?
No.
Knuth?
No.
Purcell?
No.
Quam?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Torkelson?
Yes.
Wagenius?
No.
There being 10 ayes and 6 nays, the amendment is adopted. The next amendment I have is the A8. Representative Drazkowski, I think that...
That is my amendment, Mr.
Chair. Maybe your amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, this amendment addresses two of the items... the LCCMR items. The first one is on page 45 beginning at line 45.24. The second one is on page 46, line 30. Members, I've got, Mr. Chair, an oral amendment I'd like to incorporate here as well.
Representative Drazkowski, could you state your oral amendment?
I will, Mr. Chair. Thank you. On the amendment, line 1.12, before the word scientific, I would like to, between the quotation mark and the word scientific, insert the word corridor. And Mr. Chair, wherever Ms. Taylor believes it needs to go, would like to add a line that says page 46, line 30, delete the word green. So, Mr. Chair and members, what that would do, the amendment originally, we're looking at the item on page 46, did not strike the word green corridor. So this would strike the word green corridor. So if amended successfully, it would read Minnesota River Valley State Recreation Area. And so, members, what this amendment does is changes the name and the designation of both of these projects from scientific and natural areas to state recreation areas. And additionally, it decreases cuts in half the appropriation for the item on 45.24, cuts that in half to an appropriation of $820,000. And $820,000 each year, and takes the remaining $820,000 each year, Mr. Chair, and puts that $1.6 million then into an Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund management account. This management account would be used to pay for the restoration and the PILT liabilities that the state government will have because of the additional purchases of the lands that are included in this bill. Mr. Chair, members, that is the technical part of what the amendment does. I would just suggest, as maybe some of our earlier discussion went, this would increase the ability of the public to use these acres that we are putting into state ownership. The SNA designation limits the use. We will no longer be given the message when we approached the property that we may or may not be allowed to be there, but actually would be invited in to fully utilize the state resources that our money is buying us. It is both fiscally and fiduciarily responsible by setting aside the funds necessary in order to provide the PILT and management dollars that are necessary to provide for the ownership of this land, something we, I know, have been struggling with in this committee and that we've seen both in the legislative auditor's report and the December of 2010 DNR report, that both of them suggesting that we have and are on course to own more land than we can afford to pay the ongoing liabilities for. Mr. Chair, members, that's the amendment.
Representative Drazkowski, I'm going to ask Ms. Taylor if you could read back Representative Drazkowski's oral amendment, because we're having a hard time to follow exactly what it is. Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, the oral amendment would be after line 1.11 on the amendment, add a new line that reads page 46, line 30, delete green in quotation marks, and then on line 1.12 of the amendment, before scientific, insert corridor.
Representative Drazkowski, is that consistent with what you intended to do?
That is perfectly accurate, Mr. Chair.
Representative Drazkowski, if I can ask you about your amendment to put this money in a fund, would it be used just for the lands that are purchased in this bill? And is it your intention, is this what similar to what I propose in Lessard Sams, that we would begin to set aside money to deal with any future purchases outside of the regular state budget with this, some of this new dedicated money like Lessard Sams, or we would begin with LCCMR if we're going to buy land from these pots of money, that we would also recognize there's costs involved with buying this land that we should also pay for out of this designated money? That's the issue that you're working towards, Representative Drazkowski?
That's right, Mr. Chair. It is intended to cover the ongoing operation and management and PILT costs of owning this particular land. It's set at about 20% of the value of the total acquisition in the bill, and we think we're pretty close in what this will that it will sustain itself perpetually for this particular land.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. To the Drazkowski A8 Amendment, Wagenius.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Drazkowski, it was the Redwood Area Communities Foundation that specifically asked for the money for scientific natural area acquisition. Have you talked to the Redwood Area Communities Foundation about your proposed change?
Representative Drazkowski.
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, I have not. I have not spoken with them.
Representative Wagenius.
In that case, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for a roll call.
Roll call being requested. Additional discussion to the A8 amendment. Clerk will call the roll.
McNamara?
Aye.
Anderson?
Yes.
Beard?
Aye.
Dill?
Aye.
Drazkowski?
Aye.
Fabian? Falk?
No.
Hackbarth?
Aye.
Hancock?
Aye.
Hansen?
No.
Hilty?
No.
Knuth?
No.
Purcell?
No.
Quam?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Torkelson?
Aye.
Wagenius?
No.
Being 10 ayes and 6 nays, the amendment's adopted. Next, I have the A10 amendment. Representative Drazkowski, I think that may be your amendment.
It is, Mr. Chair, my last one. Mr. Chair, members, this amendment goes to page 60. And it's an improvement of the language that is here on page 60, dealing with accelerated land sales and exchanges. And members, beginning on 1.3 through 1.5 of the amendment, that is simply a shift of $100,000 from 1 year to the next out of the actually moving it up from the second year to the first year, the biennium, from the aquatic invasive species, in order to make the numbers add up in the total spreadsheet for the bill. 1.6 on in the bill, or in the amendment, what it does is takes $100,000 the first year, asks the agency to evaluate its land holdings and look at working to sell, exchange, and to the extent necessary use acquisition to provide for eliminating some of the patchwork problems that we talked about earlier in committee so that we can bring more efficiency and ability to for the agency to manage the properties and really what is northern Minnesota, because we're looking at those where land ownership is over 50%. We then ask the agency to come back to us with a report on what their plan is. In the second year of the biennium, we give them another $100,000 to implement the plan, and we ask that it, as they implement the plan, that they do it with their eye towards the goal of not increasing the total amount of acreage in those counties in which they're involved in this activity, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Drazkowski. Questions? Representative Wagenius.
I'm having trouble with this amendment. If the goal is to have no net acquisition in those counties that have more than 50% of public land ownership, why don't you just say that as an amendment or statutory amendment and not spend $200,000 to ding around? I mean, I'm not understanding why we just don't say we're not going to put any more land, any acquisition in those counties. I'd be good with that, but I don't understand why you're spending $200,000 to achieve that end.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wagenius, the agency, and maybe Mr. Meyer can tell us a little more, but the agency tells us that in order to in order to address this in the comprehensive nature that it takes, that they would need an appropriation to do it.
Representative Wagenius.
Accomplish what, Mr. Chair, Representative Drazkowski?
Mr. Meyer, if you could come forward. This is something we've talked about. It's the accelerated land sales. We have asked, Representative Drazkowski's drafted this amendment. We had some original language in the DE1. Representative Drazkowski has put some additional language forward in the A10 amendment. Representative Wagenius is asking why you need $200,000 to help. Is that not true, Representative Wagenius? You can speak for yourself now that Mr. Meyer's back.
Yeah.
Representative Wagenius.
To Mr. Chair, I understand about land acceleration and that kind of thing. The reason I'm asking this question about this money is because you're using trust fund money. Trust fund money is to protect natural resources. That's not what you're doing with the money. If this were general fund money and somebody wanted to do a plan to accelerate sales, I think that would be appropriate. But if it is your, I don't think it's appropriate to use trust fund money for what you are doing to accelerate sales. Doesn't fit with the Constitution. General fund, yes. Trust fund, no. So if it is just your intention to say we're not going to buy any more land or put any more public monies in these counties that have 50%, put that on the table. I'll vote with you. But not, this is, in my judgment, an inappropriate and unconstitutional use of this money, and I would ask for a roll call on this one, too.
Okay, roll call has been requested. Representative Wagenius, I'll remind you on, you probably saw this, it says sell, exchange, and acquire property more efficiently. I think we want the DNR to look at the opportunities available in counties where there's large public ownership Are there opportunities that we should be pursuing to exchange land that could make environmental sense? Are there opportunities to buy it? Recognizing the pressures on these counties when we have so much public ownership up there. If I'm not mistaken, this is a goal. This is not a requirement. If they get an opportunity, say, in Hubbard County, I don't know if Hubbard County is 50% or not, and it would be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity on a lake, say it's called Lake LaSalle, they, I believe, can pursue it under this amendment if it was adopted. Representative Wagenius.
Mr. Chair, I'm not objecting to the goal or the outcome. What I'm objecting to is the use of trust fund monies to do this. I don't think it's appropriate use of trust fund monies, which are designated solely to protect natural resources. And that's not the game plan, and Representative Draskowski has already testified to that. That's my only objection here. If he was coming with general fund money or some other money, I think that's the appropriate conversation. I've worked on this myself, but okay. With this money, it is not appropriate.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking more closely, I think that I'd like to make a hopefully friendly oral amendment to take care of an issue on 1.16 after the chairs. I believe we should include the minority lead on the committees. There's an appropriate language for that when they're reporting.
Representative Quam, let me ask Ms. Taylor. Ms. Taylor, would you have some proposed language potentially
1.16
for Representative Quam's amendment? Well, first let me ask you, Representative Draskowski, would you accept that as a friendly amendment?
I would, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Ms. Taylor, if you could propose some language to Representative Quam.
Mr. Chair, members, on line 1.16, what could be done is after chairs, add and ranking minority members.
Questions to Representative Draskowski's incorporation of the Quam-friendly amendment. Additional discussion to the A-10. Representative Purcell, I'm sorry, I knew. Representative Purcell.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a clarification of Mr. Chair, what the discussion that preceded Representative Quam's oral amendment, and if I heard right, and I just want to make sure I understand this. And it was, Mr. Chair, you made I think euphemistic referral to that we have property, that we have state property that we want to get rid of, and you said on LaSalle Lake, and I'm just got my antenna up a little bit here. Is that are we? What are we doing to ourselves? I understand. I don't think you propose to sell that, but are we buying property then? And then we're going to turn around and sell it? What are we doing to ourselves? I just asked that question because we just dealt with LaSalle Lake, and that we're indeed, and I think it's a worthy purchase here. But golly, if we're going to do it and turn around and all of a sudden somebody wants to walk up and buy it, is that what we're doing?
Representative Purcell, I was mentioning that I thought this amendment would help us when we want to buy property like LaSalle, not sell it, like because acquiring is in the amendment. I thought, I'm not sure if Hubbard County is a 50% county or not, but I would be surprised, and Representative Hancock is nodding that he doesn't think so, but I think it would give us in counties where we have significant public ownership, if with this study that the DNR would do, it would actually, I think, make it easier for us in opportunities to buy the land. Representative Wagenia said she still doesn't believe that is the right direction for LCCMR is even constitutional, and she's made that point clear that's her belief. Thank you, Representative Purcell. Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I have to tend to agree with Representative Wagenius on this, that I'm not so sure that it's a wise spending of money to spend $200,000 to come up with a plan like this. is it rocket science? I don't know. That's a lot of money, and I would vote against this just on the basis of that much money being spent on this.
Representative Dill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on line 10.10. I just want to make sure I understand that evaluation of its land holdings. Now, would that, I think I know the answer, but would that include the school trust land? I don't, the trust holds the land, so I think we're only referring to acquired lands and things of that nature in this amendment. So could I get a clarification maybe from Mr. Meyer or someone on that? I think I know the answer, but I just want to make sure.
Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, members, Bob Meyer, DNR. First, I haven't talked to Representative Kowski about this amendment, so I saw it when it was posted yesterday. I believe it's to do the Roseau County pilot project stuff that we've talked about during our budget presentation, strategic land asset management, where we sat down with Roseau County in a long-term group of meetings evaluating all of the land holdings within the county, not only state, school trust, CONCON, federal, where applicable, and try to develop a strategy on what the county wants to do, where the state wants to be, how we can move forward, and try to ease those pressures and to develop a relationship on land acquisition within that region. Representative Fabian and I talked the other day about the lands bill that he has, and in Marshall County there's a quilt work or a patchwork ownership that we need to evaluate some of our land holdings that people may want to buy and look at what the county wants to do and things like that. It's that process, I think, that you're trying to do here, Representative Kowski. The funding source is a question. I think that is a concern, but that's one the legislature needs to decide. We need to do the work, but it does cost money. Lands and Minerals is a fee for service-based organization. Once we come up with those decisions, then it costs, and we're trying to figure out new ways to do this by maybe some large-scale legislative land exchanges, but you have the appraisals, all the legal work that needs to be done, and then the actual transaction itself of the exchange and things like that. So I think that's what the goal is. Our goal would be to work with the counties to develop an acquisition strategy and how we can work to spend, you know, bonding dollars, game and fish dollars, the Outdoor Heritage Fund dollars, Environmental Trust Fund dollars for all purposes of the Outdoor Rec Act to provide that access. So,
thank you, Mr. Meyer. Ms. Taylor, I'm going to ask you, this will make Mr. Meyer's night. We're going to ask the agency to eat this study. They're just going to have to, and I don't think I've asked you to eat anything so far. So, Ms. Taylor, if you could let us know, I can't take you anywhere to eat anything, literally, because it's against the rules. The first time I was only in the legislature about a month when I tried to buy, then I think Trails Director Martinson lunch, and I got scolded that this is totally unallowable. And so I learned after coming from the private sector, when I thought it was okay to buy somebody a hamburger at the restaurant in Hackensack, I found out that doesn't work. Ms. Taylor, if you could, and I'll tell you what I think we'll do, Representative Wagenius. This is going to get maybe a little bit involved. If it's okay with members, I'm going to ask Ms. Taylor to draft proposed language that ask DNR to do it without any money out of LCCMR. Representative Wagenius, Representative Anderson have raised concerns that I think deserve addressing, that we should not be spending money out of LCCMR to do this legitimately. To this point, Representative Wagenius.
To this point, Mr. Chair, let me ask the Chair, how much money have you cut from the DNR's budget?
Representative Wagenius, we have asked the DNR to do a lot. I haven't asked them to do any free studies like many people do in different things. And so this is one that we would be asking them to do. In the process, this would still move forward, and hopefully we can find a way out that makes this work. I think, Representative Wagenius, we need them to do this. You raise a good point. It doesn't necessarily work in this fund. But this idea that they do this, I believe, should be included. Representative Wagenius.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we don't ask agencies to eat $200,000, and we certainly don't ask them to eat $200,000 when we've drastically cut their budget. And when I can see that Representative Fabian came here with one mission in mind, and that was to speed up permits. And all of this cutting that we are doing, we are actually going to slow down permitting process. So his bill is dead. It might be alive in terms of the words are out there, but the reality of it is we have cut so much money from DNR and from PCA, but we're on DNR right now, that they can't even do the job they have right now. And to ask them to eat $200,000 and to do a study, I think is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we're not being practical here, folks. Let's think of how much money we have just cut out of the DNR budget.
Representative Representative Wagenius.
I will, no matter what the language comes up here, I will ask for a roll call on this.
Representative Dill.
Okay, well, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Meyer almost always answers every question, but he didn't answer the question. He didn't say whether or not its land holdings include school trust land. And secondly is maybe this amendment, first off, I support the amendment. I'm a little gun-shy on the language on the funding that Representative Wagenius has brought forward and that Ms. Taylor is working on eliminating the language at least. But maybe this is more appropriate in the lands bill, and it gives us just a little more time to work on it between now and the time that the lands bill passes. So those are my question and then my comments.
I'm sorry, was it a question for Mr. Meyer?
Well, first off, Mr.
Not
Chair,
for me.
You hear the comments, but I'm actually addressing the chair. I really support the bill. The amendment, but I think that possibly beyond my question to Mr. Meyer, maybe this needs a little more work than just tagging it on here tonight and then taking this up in the land. I still didn't have the attention to share.
Yeah, no, I was hearing you that time. I did hear you.
I did
hear you that time, Representative Dill.
Okay, so my question to Mr. Meyer is the school trust land including it? Should be easy, yes or no?
Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, we manage the school trust lands for the benefit of the children of the state. It is included as state lands for our numerical purposes, but the technical question is those lands are held in trust by the DNR for the school trust, permanent school trust fund, permanent university trust fund.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think the answer is no. It does not include the school trust lands.
This process would. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
This process would. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Traskowski.
Mr. Chair, is there a way for me to pull back the amendment and work on it for tomorrow?
Representative Draskowski, there is no tomorrow on this bill.
Oh, there is no tomorrow.
The committee's concerned. Representative Draskowski, are you going to withdraw the A-10 amendment?
There's something about the sun will come out tomorrow. No. Mr. Chair, yes, I'll withdraw the amendment.
A-10's withdrawn. We're on the A-11 amendment. The A-11. Who's got the A-11? I do. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is not on the environment, but this is the fund transfers from all of the dedicated dollars. One of which we heard the telecommunications access. I think it also has the Realtor Act charge, some license technology surcharges, each of these funds being swept in to cover the general fund loss. And so I'm proposing deleting Section 5.
Representative Hansen.
I don't know if you heard me, or
but
he had that bill around.
I know it's not environment. I got that far.
Mr. Chair, it is the with the Public Utilities Commission deleting Section 5, each of the fund transfers from the dedicated dollars. They're not dedicated constitutionally, but they're paid by fee-based. The realtors, the telecommunications, we had Representative Hilty's amendment this morning a number of other surcharges that are being swept into the general fund to help deal with the budget. So my amendment was to delete Section 5.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hansen. Mr. Reinholz, what would be the fiscal impact to the A11 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, those transfers add up to $3 million.
Mr. Reinholz, could you pull your mic down? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members, those transfers in Section 5 are $3 million towards the target for this bill.
And Mr. Reinholz, would our bill be balanced if we accept this amendment?
Mr. Chair, no, the bill would be over the target for this bill.
Okay. I would recommend members vote no to the amendment, to the A11 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No. Nay.
Motion does not carry. To the 168 amendment, Representative Hackbard or Representative Deal? Representative Hackbard, I believe it's yours. A11 0168, $200,000 first year. Yes. Representative Hackbard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is $200,000 that the Seattle Highway Vehicle Band comes out as, like the 168 section of the bill. I have an oral amendment to the amendment that I'd like to incorporate, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hackbard.
I'd like to delete on the amendment, on the 0168 amendment, delete line 1.8.
And Representative Hackbart, the net effect of the oral amendment is?
Well, the oral amendment, you don't need to do this if we're putting this much money in there. Maybe Mr. Reynolds can explain it better than I can, but that leaves that money in there.
Okay. Do we need further explanation for that, anybody?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Reynolds.
That's correct to do. Okay. That money was assumed to have been spent in over in that area, and it was not.
Okay. Thank you. Discussion to the 168 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. To the 173 amendment, Representative Deal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a transfer from the altering vehicle account to the Natural Resources Fund for a pass-through grant to Lake County. This is a trail that has been established. It's under construction. All the permits are in place for this area of the trail. The culverts are in, the bridges are in, and this is money that is needed to complete the trail, this section of trail in Lake County. It's a trail that's authorized by the legislature and has been ongoing for some time.
Thank you, Representative Deal. And Mr. Payer, you're in the audience, and I should have probably asked on the Hackbart Pyer. Potter, what did I say? It's been a long night. Mr. Potter, right?
Mr. Potter.
Mr. Potter, I forgot to ask, you support, will you come down, Mr. Potter? These are ATV.
Sure. The DNR is in support of the amendment.
Well, and I forgot to ask on that Representative Deal. Do they support your, they did support your amendment? Representative, Mr. Potter, to both of those amendments, we already voted on one. It's my first time out of the chute, so.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Potter.
Ron Potter with Parks and Trails, the DNR. In regard to your first question, yes, we support that.
Okay, thank you. To the, did you identify yourself for the record?
I did.
Good job. To the A-173 amendment, all those in favor, aye?
Aye.
I'm sorry, hold it. Time out, we're trying here. These guys are getting hungry. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Potter, we've had a number of bills over the last few years on trails and along the North Shore, and I'm just wondering if this is the same trail. I know there were, is this a DNR trail or is this a Lake County trail? Is this the trail where there were concerns about the trout streams? Representative Dill said that the permits have been done. Was there an EAW on this one? Or I know there's been controversy on a series of trails up there. Just wondering a little more explanation on this one.
Mr. Potter.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, this one is a county trail. It's not a state trail. There was a portion of, there was an ATV trail that was built by the DNR several years ago where we did an EAW on. but that was because it was a state trail. This, again, is not a state trail. County is building it, and it's our understanding that once it's built, then they will turn it over as a grant need through the local club.
Further questions on the 192? Representative Dale.
No question, just a comment. This is inappropriately named the North Shore Trail. This is not the North Shore Trail. It is at least off the shore by at least 5 miles and somewhere 10 to 15. So it is commonly referred to as that. It does, however, cross trout streams because they run for great distances.
Representative Hanson.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Dill, so those trout streams, they're protected, or the plans are there for making sure that's all taken care of and protected.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dill.
Mr. Potter, but my answer is yes.
Representative Hackbart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that is correct, and this has been a long-established snowmobile trail, and that's all been taken care of many, many years ago when the snowmobile trail was installed. And this is just to enhance and make it even safer and a better trail. In that regard.
Sir, did you want to speak to this amendment?
If I may.
You sure can. You can still talk here. If you could identify yourself for the record.
Yes. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is John Lencheski. I'm a member of Trout Unlimited. I'm also a member of the Citizens Oversight Committee, the DNR Budget Committee concerning the trout stamp. And that committee repeatedly has expressed concern and opposition to the conversion of that snowmobile trail to an ATV trail. The trail was laid out through wetlands and across many trout streams and their tributaries for wintertime use. When everything's frozen, they can go through the steep slopes, they can go through the wetlands, there's not an issue. Neither TU, Trout Unlimited nor the Trout Stamp is committee is opposed to ATV use. I'm guessing half our members are ATV users, but it is inappropriate in some instances, and we believe this is one of those instances. There has not been environmental review done of this conversion to an ATV trail. Just a couple of quick highlights about this. The two sections in Lake County that we're talking about that are being converted contains 26 designated trout streams or trout stream tributaries, 12 steep hills with a grade of 10% or greater. That there was a feasibility study that the legislature ordered in 2005 and identified this, said there would be environmental review needed, said there would be some rerouting on these steep hills needed. Last week, the county representative testified in the Senate that there were no reroutes planned. In fact, there were no steep hills in these segments. So this raises great concerns about whether the DNR trail building guidelines for ATVs are being followed in Lake County. We're not opposed to the building of trails if it's done right without the review. We're very concerned. There's also the report indicated there'd have to be 44 culverts replaced in just this one segment. I think there's permits for 5. So again, it raises concerns about whether this trail is being built properly. And if it is going to be built, there should be adequate funding to appropriately reroute it around some of these very sensitive areas. So we're opposed to this trail building. I guess our recommendation or our request would be that to get this, rather than a pass-through grant, perhaps a grant and aid where the DNR then would have a say in the construction of the trail, because they told me last week they have no ability, no regulatory authority to have a say in how this trail is built short of those few crossing points.
Mr. Potter, to Mr. Lencheski's concerns.
Mr. Chairman, the Lake County is the sponsor of this trail. They're also the sponsor of the Moose Walk, Moose Run Grenade Trail that's up in that area, and that has been in place for several years. We've monitored that as part of our routine monitoring, and they've done an excellent job in building and maintaining that trail system. So we feel that it's in good hands. A lot of this is on existing trail, existing railroad grade. As Representative Hackbarth had mentioned, there's a lot, the bridges, culverts are in place. So again, it's a county project, but it's a county that's very familiar with building these kind of trails, and we feel they're doing an adequate job.
Representative Hans.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And seeing as there's some controversy here, I will ask for a roll call.
Okay. There's been a roll call requested. Clerk will call the roll on the 192. Well, I'm moving ahead there, just trying to get ahead of us a little bit. We're going to have a roll call on the 173. Thanks, Representative Dill.
McNamara?
Aye.
Anderson?
Yes.
Beard?
Aye.
Dill?
Aye.
Druskowski? Fabian?
Yes.
Falk?
No.
Hackbarth?
Aye.
Hancock?
Aye.
Hansen?
No.
Hilty?
No.
Knuth?
No.
Purcell?
No.
Quam?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Torkelson?
Aye.
Wagenius?
No.
There being 10 ayes and 6 nays, the amendment's adopted. Now to the 192. Representative Hackbart?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the 192 amendment, and I have an oral amendment to that one also. We're finding some little technical changes here, and I did tell Ms. Taylor about it on line 1.7. After the word comprehensive and before the word trail, install the word all-terrain vehicle. The words all-terrain vehicle, and I gave that to Ms. Taylor.
Additional oral amendment? Representative Hackbart?
Incorporate that in my amendment.
Okay. You want to speak to the amendment, Representative Hackbart?
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this money is set aside in the bill already, $400,000, and $100,000 is for the mapping, and the DNR is okay with that. That's the way they have it in the bill. But I'm a little bit concerned about the $300,000 that's left over. And I think I've talked to a number of people, and I think we'd like to, I hate to use the word earmark it, but to be more specifically, I'd like to see how the DNR is going to work and use this money to make some of these trail connections that they were talking about. So I've added some language in here that specifically says that we want to see how they're going to use this money and give that money to grant and aid and those kinds of things rather than just turn it over to the DNR.
Thank you. To the 192, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hackbarth. My question's on line 1.15, the $100,000 for downloadable trail maps, and I'm just wondering if that's the real cost, the real.
Representative Hackbarth.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Hansen, if Mr. Potter wanted to come back down again, that was their provision. They want to do that, that's what they asked for. That's what they asked for.
Mr. Potter, do you care to comment, or you want Hackbarth to do your work?
I can elaborate a bit more. We did this, I think it was in the 2003 bill, where we did the inventory of all the trails that are out there. This is to help map some of those trails and get those down on the map where people can find these trails and then go and actually use them now that we've inventoried them.
Mr. Potter, any further explanation?
Mr. Chairman, my only comment would be that we did do the planning of all the forests previously. It took us 4 years and 3 full-time FTEs to get that planning done. This is ambitious, but we'll try to be up to the task.
So I think Representative Hansen was worried that $100,000 was giving you too much. Are you worried that it's not enough? Or maybe Representative Hansen thought it was too little, too. I'm not sure. Mr. Potter.
Our concern is that, yes, it took a lot more than that to do it the first time around, but we do have a pretty good start on it with the data that we did gather in this last go-around, but we'll try to.
You wouldn't want me to ask you to eat it, though, would you? No. Okay. I'm getting a lot of nods no in the back there, so I'm being a little bit silly. Sorry. Representative Hansen? Representative Quam?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since I see a amendment that I hope would be friendly on 1.9 after chairs, I'd like to include the ranking language because I do care for the ranking members of the committee. So.
Representative Hackbart, he accepts it as a friendly amendment. Ms. Taylor, do you have it?
Mr. Chair, members, it'd be on line 1.9 of the amendment after chairs, insert, and ranking minority members.
Thank you. Discussion to the 192. All those in favor say aye. I'm sorry. Whoops. Oh, Representative Wagin, yes.
Purcell.
Somebody's hand over there that Ms. Rudolph.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Don't mean to interrupt the vote, but I just wanted to make comment if I understood this $100,000 on the downloadable trail maps, because we'd had some discussions in the past and about trying to keep folks on trails, and that would help, you know, keep them where we don't want them. So I just want to offer that support for this. I think it's good to do. But
anybody else want to offer their support? All right, to the 192. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Is this the Representative Dill? Yeah. Are we down? We did 190. Oh, wait. Oh, Representative Hackbart, I believe yours is the 194.
Yes.
Representative Hackbart.
Mr. Chairman, this is a repair technical mistake that was made in the bill. I had a bill that had to do with the petrol fund and the tank, and this was part of my original bill, and it didn't get put into the bill as we put it together. It's just a technical change in the bill to make sure the whole bill gets in there. This was just left out by mistake.
Representative Hackbart, you're being generous again. I think I probably screwed up in putting it in there. Any questions on it? All those in favor of the 194 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. I think we have one amendment left, and it's, I believe, Representative Dill's amendment, the 206. Representative Dill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. And this is about the electrical cooperative. And back some number of years ago, a piece of legislation was passed that required if you had a merger of cooperatives between a date certain and a date certain, that the threshold for having the question be if the a voter question to be a regulated utility was lowered from 5% to 1%. And it ended up that one co-op has met that time period, and that is which is now Lake Country Power. It's an amalgamation of three co-ops. Recently, Mr. Chairman, they have about 50,000 members in that co-op. It's the largest co-op geographically in the United States. Recently, 512 members under this provision that is currently in law were able to petition to have the question put before all of the members of whether they wanted that to be a regulated co-op as a regulated industry. That failed by 63% of the vote saying no, that they did not want to be a regulated industry. What this amendment would do would be repeal that provision beginning on line 1.11 regarding the 1% threshold and return it to the 5% threshold that all other co-ops live under today and have lived under since this law was originally promulgated. So that is the amendment.
Okay. Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chair, I'm familiar with the situation. I just ask members to support the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Hilty. I am going to ask the members in the audience. This is a new amendment. It was not posted 24 hours in advance. Representative Dill did bring this issue forward earlier. It has been online for a while. Is there anyone in the audience or anybody from one of the agencies that would want to speak to it? I know Representative Dill has talked to Representative Beard, and he's not here right now, but I know he had the same thoughts as Representative Hilty. They're both more kind of our energy gurus on the committee. Sorry if that offended anybody. I just get too late. They're kind of. Any other thoughts, concerns on the 206? All those in favor of the 206 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion's adopted. Members, I think we're to the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wagenius.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would like to ask for roll call on the bill.
Roll call has been requested. There will be one.
And the hour is late. And I trust you noticed that there weren't many amendments to this bill from our side of the aisle.
And frankly, it was simply, it's simply too harsh a bill. We could not fix it. Amendments are not enough. They're too huge rollbacks of protections to air and water and Minnesotans. And I worry that we are using legacy money inappropriately, that is, unconstitutionally. And I'm very worried that we're using politics rather than science when we're doing our decision making. There are lots of other problems with this bill. I think we've had plenty of discussion about the problems, but I would say it is not fair to Minnesotans who've always supported our environment. And I'm sure there are other people that would probably like to make a comment or two.
Other comment? Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair, and earlier tonight I had the amendment of transferring, prohibiting the transfer of dollars from small D dedicated funds. I think this bill transfers about, as Reinhold said, $3 million. I think there's another $15 million, almost $18 million of small D dedicated funds that are being raided for the general fund. And an all-cuts budget apparently has some dramatic shifts that people who paid fees weren't anticipating, and that alone is enough to vote against the bill.
Okay. Other comments to the bill? Representative Deal.
Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much, and I appreciate the many of the things that the ideas that side of the aisles had, but I am not going to be able to support the bill, even though I had a lot of different amendments and taken a lot of different votes, sometimes not with the caucus that I'm in, sometimes with yours. But I cannot support a bill that, in my estimation, cripples an industry that is within my district, that is an integral part. And this is just the way it is in this situation, when we're so dramatically short of money and the philosophies are different between the two sides of the aisle. But I do want to say that I appreciate your work and your members' work, as well as our members' work as well. But I just wanted to explain, people will say, well, why did you vote for this amendment? Why didn't you vote for this amendment? Certain things are going to be needed in this state. But one of them is to cut trees down so we can make paper to run our copy machines, so that we can do our work and to supply jobs and to use our natural resources the way they were intended to be. And I understand you're in a terrible fix. I'm on another committee that's taking $60 million from my district, or from a conglomeration of districts, trying to fix a terrible problem that's wrong. So with that in mind, I just wanted to give a brief explanation and express my appreciation to your talk for the work you've done with me.
Well, thank you, Representative Dill. Further comments to the bill? Well, members, this has been a tough time to have to chair this committee and do the things to get us to where we are today. We've tried to do our best in regards to the budgets given. It's our hope that as we move forward, we'll find ways to make this better. It's quite a bit different than the Senate in a number of ways. I think for the most part, as you would suspect, I think our bill is much superior to theirs. And so we'll continue to advocate for the things we have. There's some thing in here that are hard to do. I mean, there's some language about school trusts, about removing sound natural resource conservation management principles and with other specific policies provided in state law. I mean, this is not something if you're a deer hunter or a camper or somebody that likes to watch birds and walk in the outdoors or berry pick, which I do all of, something that we take lightly. The reality is that's not consistent, I don't believe, with what we should be doing in school trust land. The sulfide issue is extremely serious in regards to the cultural Native American community, and we need to find a way to work through that.
we need to find a way to come out of this, that our state parks are moving forward in a rather really, really tough time. It's going to mean some reduced open hours and probably facilities. I hope the DNR, we did not load it up with policy. It's been a pet peeve of mine to take an omnibus bill and fill it with policy. We did a little bit of policy. We deleted some language that dealt with native seed, but there was very, very little policy in here, so we did not direct the DNR to keep state parks open. But those of us that have been working outside of here in tough budget times in our home or at work, if you get a 5% cut, you don't cut 20% of something. And so I would hope the DNR gets the message without us having to put it in statute of what we hope them to do. It was a 10% cut to the zoo. Net effect, I think about 5%. They didn't come here and tell us they were going to close 20% of the time. So it's my hope that the DNR reconsiders, that they think the general public's going to accept that they're going to close 20% of the parks. I know there's challenges. We have too many state parks. The problem is they're in all our districts, and if they're in your district, you don't want it to be closed. I just think of the Greenleaf issue that we worked through with Representative Erdahl, and I thank him for working with that when that ended up to be a state rec area instead of being another state park that we can't afford. That's the issues with LaSalle Lake. We've kept LaSalle Lake in here in an unbelievably tough time to be buying $8 million worth of land. Representative Purcell, you said you've evidently, I have not had the fortunate experience to be there, but I've seen it. I mean, for us to be buying an $8 million gem like this at this time is only going to happen because of actions like Representative Draskowski putting in there that we've got to, if we're going to be buying this land, we've got to be able to afford it. Representative Dill, you talked about the cut to PILT. It's unconscionable that we're going to cut PILT. I mean, that's not fair. But we're doing that to make ends meet. Well, with Representative Draskowski's bill and or amendment and my amendment on the legacy, we're saying these lands, if we're going to buy them, we're going to buy them when we can afford them and recognize the cost. So those are some of the things that make the bill, at least maybe as a future as we go forward, something we can live with. Representative Hansen, the fund transfers, I can't argue with you. They're there, and, you know, it's they're there. I mean, this is a tough, tough time, and so we're trying to make ends meet. It's you can't argue. Work comp risk pool, the people that can't buy regular work comp insurance. The reality is the state law requires that we charge those rates, and so the fund keeps getting built up, so the money's there. It's kind of a catch-22, you know. The regular person on the street doesn't understand it. You know, so we're going to have to work through some of the tougher ones. MPCA, you know, we cut you 2.3% of your total budget. I know we cut, whatever, 64% of your general fund. Be innovative. Find a way to fund the important things. If you're doing things that don't make sense and shouldn't be state-funded, and I'm not going to pick on them, you've already been picked on. You know what they are. You got great staff there. 900 people. You got natural attrition for people to take early retirement and move on. And let's take advantage of that in these tough times. And if we're doing stuff we shouldn't be doing just because it feels good, we can't do that anymore. We need to move ahead and find better ways to do it. And we really do. Sometimes in government, it's a little slower for us to move. Hopefully, we're going to get some work rule changes that allow you to do some things. To the environment community, I appreciate you being so nice to me when it looks like I haven't been so nice to you. We're going to continue to work on your issues. These are a lot of tough things, and we've got to find a way to protect Native Americans and their wild rice and protect the environment and, you know, have things like science and nature areas, and but at the same time, we're trying to balance this all. And if we don't have a job, folks, you don't have much, and it's hard for us to go to people and say we got to take more of your money so we can fund a state park, or more of your money so we can give it to the zoo, or more of your money to give to pollution control so they can tell us how to live better or not recycle less or whatever. So enough of me going on. We all want to eat. Anybody else? Clerk will call the roll. Better have a motion. The motion is to pass House File 1010 as amended, be referred to Ways and Means. I'd also like to direct staff to make technical corrections and changes to reflect the committee action. And before the clerk begins to take the roll, I just want to thank Mr. Reinholtz, Ms. Taylor, Mr. Elop. When we leave and we race out of here to go get dinner, they go up in their office and work oftentimes till very, very late, and tonight's going to be one of those nights. We've done a number of changes, and actually many oral changes that there's no way they were prepared for. We deleted one amendment, I know for sure. Representative Draskowski withdrew one. Representative Dill, we had one later on. Thank you, Representative Hilty and Representative Beard, for giving input on that. But we really owe you, and all too often, and that doesn't get acknowledged. So thank you, and Mr. Harris, you can call the roll.
McNamara?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Beard?
Aye.
Dill? Draskowski?
Aye.
Fabian?
Aye.
Falk?
No.
Akbars?
Aye.
Hancock?
Aye.
Hansen?
No.
Hilty?
No.
Knuth?
No.
Purcell?
No.
Quam?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Torkelson?
Aye.
Wagenius?
No.
There being 10 ayes, 7 nays, the motion is passed and it's referred to Ways and Means. Meeting's adjourned.